My message today is entitled Uncommon Value. So in looking at our scripture today, I'd actually like to begin at the end. That is, I want us to start looking at the last verse. I'd like to begin there because I think it's going to help us understand what is really going on in this story. You see, one of the most difficult things to do in looking at Bible stories, particularly ones like the stories like today's scripture, is to bracket out what we think we know and then allow it to speak to us anew, almost as if for the first time. Now, this Bible story in particular is very difficult to come at anew. It's a pretty much guaranteed thing that if you went to Sunday school when you were growing up, you sang the song. Everybody sing with me. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see. There you go. Okay, so obviously a lot of us know the song, which means a lot of us know the story and bring with it things that we think it means. That's part of why I think that it is important for us to start our look at these scriptures today by jumping all the way to the ending. Basically, what I'm saying is, let's see where we are going, and maybe it will help us inform our journey just a bit. Let's understand what the author of Luke decided, why the author of Luke decided to share this story from the life of Jesus, and then go back to the story and see how he does that. In that way, we might be able to bracket out just a bit of what we think we know about this verse and give it just a little bit of space to speak to us anew. So here it is, the final verse. The last part of verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." This is a story about saving the lost. Now, we'll need to sort out exactly what is being lost, or what being lost is, and who the lost are, but that's the anchor for our story. That's the thing that we should keep in mind in looking at the story. This is a story about saving the lost. Now, with that established, let's also consider where it is that the author of Luke places this story in Jesus' journey. See, the very next thing that happens in Luke is Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem. So this is it. This is the last official act of Jesus' ministry before the beginning of the end of the story. The last thing Jesus does is save the lost. It's sort of an exclamation point at the end of his ministry in Luke, which makes the story all the more important. And like I said, all of that makes it a bit imperative for us to sort out exactly what being lost is and who the lost are. Let's start with what being lost is. If we begin with the assumption, and I'd like to revisit this again in just a bit, that Zacchaeus is the lost, what does that tell us about the lost one? Well, the obvious place to start with is what he did for his living. It's not only the logical place to start, but based on his response to Jesus, once they make it to his home, it's also easy to think that it's the only thing being considered here. You see, when they get to his place, he explains to Jesus that he's adopting a new financial plan for his life. He'll not only be giving 50% of everything he has back to the poor, but he'll also give back four times over to those that he's taken away from wrongfully. So, it would seem that his role as a tax collector is important here. Just looking at the focus of this story alone tells us it must be a pretty big contributor to his lostness. And it makes some sense. Jesus has already taught that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Perhaps the most telling thing about Zacchaeus' promise to Jesus, to give back half of what he has, to give it away and pay back four times over to those he has cheated. Perhaps the most telling thing about his promise to Jesus is not so much that he has a lot of money and that makes him lost, but rather, perhaps the most telling thing about his lostness is the kind of person he had become to get that money. Perhaps that is what makes him lost. He seems to have been perfectly fine with cheating people if he could gain some money. He valued money more than people. For him, the love of money was indeed the root of all sort of evil. Now, being that we are getting close to stewardship season, and the fact that we will truly need each person to give to their fullest ability if we're going to have any chance of making a balanced budget, it shouldn't surprise you that I would be pretty darn happy if the idea of lostness stopped right here at this story. I'd be able to spend the rest of my sermon talking about how we value our money too highly, about how we hold on to it so tightly even as others are starving and homeless, about how, like Zacchaeus, we tend to value our money more than we value following the teachings of Jesus, about how we tend to follow him from a distance, sitting high in our trees of security and safety, and all the while Jesus calls out to us to come down from our trees and live life more fully by letting go of the things society values and embracing the things that Jesus tried to teach us to value. I could do that. However, I do believe there is more to this than just a financial message. I believe there is more to Zacchaeus' lostness than simply the way he values money more than people. I believe that Zacchaeus is lost in more ways than one. You see, as I've already noted, this was Luke's exclamation point at the end of the ministry of Jesus, just before he goes into Jerusalem for the last time. Being the very careful storyteller that he is, it would be highly unusual for Luke to make this the last story about valuing money over people when Jesus' ministry was about so much more than that. And this is where I want to come back to our assumption of what being lost is and who is lost. I think the key to what else is going on here is found in verse 7. It's a verse that in many ways is an echo of what we hear throughout Jesus' ministry, which makes it a pretty good candidate as a guide for the larger statement that Luke is trying to make here about the whole of Jesus' ministry. Verse 7 says this, "All who saw it began to grumble and said, 'He, Jesus, has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner.'" One of my all-time favorite Christian authors growing up was Frederick Buechner. He describes Zacchaeus and his story this way. "Zacchaeus stood barely 5 feet tall with his shoes off and was the least popular man in Jericho. He was the head tax collector for Rome in the district, and he had made such a killing out of it that he was the richest man in town as well as the shortest. When word got around that Jesus would soon be passing through, he shimmied up a sycamore tree so that he could see something more than just the back of other people's heads. And that's where he was when Jesus spotted him. 'Zacchaeus,' Jesus says, 'get down out of there in a hurry. I'm spending tonight with you.' Whereupon all of Jericho snickered up their sleeves to think that he didn't have any better sense than to invite himself to the house of a man that nobody else would touch with a 10-foot pole." See, Zacchaeus was lost in more ways than one. Yes, he was lost in the way that he treated people because of his love for money. But he was also lost because of the way that people treated him. He was a man that nobody else would touch with a 10-foot pole. He was despised. He was marginalized. He was a social outcast. He was lost. And so were all the people who marginalized and looked down on him. Jesus saw him in his lostness, alone in that tree. He looked past all the judgments, all the self-imposed values that the people of Jericho were heaping on Zacchaeus, and he saw him as a lost human being, fully deserving of love. And in that, he saw that Zacchaeus, just as each one of us, possessed uncommon value. The reality is, the perfect exclamation point to Jesus' ministry might be exactly this. That Zacchaeus is all at once everything we don't want to be and everything that we are. And as Buechner points out, he's Aaron whipping it up with the golden calf the moment that his brother turns his back. He's Jacob conning everyone, including his father. He's Jael driving the tent peg through the head of an overnight guest. And he's Nebuchadnezzar with his taste for roasting the opposition. He's Paul holding the lynch mob's coats as they go to work on Stephen. He's Saul the paranoid and David the stud. And he's the mealy-mouthed friends of Job. He's even the ones who betrayed the people who loved them best, such as Absalom and poor old Peter and even old Judas. In modern terms, he's Clinton and Trump. He's Edward Snowden and Kim Jong-un. He's Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. He's the lady on the street corner and the traitors on Wall Street. Zacchaeus is you. Zacchaeus is me. It's a lesson that even the narrator of children's book series, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Lemony Snicket, understood when he said, "People aren't either wicked or noble. They're like chef salads with good things, bad things, chopped up, mixed in together in a vinaigrette of confusion and conflict. There is failure and potential in each one of us. Each one of us misses the mark when it comes to being all that we are called to be, and yet each one of us are not only worthy of the love of God, but each of us are a unique expression of the love of God. We are wicked and noble. We are a mixed bag of good and bad, topped off with a vinaigrette of confusion and conflict. We are only human, and we are a reflection of the divine. We are dime a dozen, and we are chocked full of uncommon value." This is a story about value, about where society places it in stature, both physical and sociological, where individuals place it in money, in power, and where Jesus taught us to place it in potential, in change, in love, in equality. We are each worthy of love. None of us, not one of us, are to be thought of as untouchable. While the people of Jericho may have seen Zacchaeus as a man who no one would touch even with a 10-foot pole, Jesus saw the uncommon value in him. The uncommon value in each one of us. Jesus called him down from his tree and traveled with him to his home. The salvation the text speaks of that came to Zacchaeus' home was not because of Zacchaeus' decision to restructure his financial life. The salvation that came to his home was the uncommon love of Jesus. When we follow the teachings of the Jesus in this story, it caused us to come down from the perceived safety and security of our trees. It comes into our homes and into our day-to-day lives, and we are saved from the divisions and the separateness that the world is constantly heaping upon us. The divisions that we create with our politics, nations of origin, sex, class, race, sexual attraction, age, religion, and so many other things begin to fade away as we recognize the uncommon value that each person possesses. Our salvation comes as we realize that there is something that we can learn from each person we meet, that there is a unique expression of God's love in each person, just waiting to connect with us and grow us closer to God, creation, each other. And that may be the larger point of this story. We are not just saved towards God. We're saved towards each other. That's how the lost are saved. We stop seeing them as lost. We see, just as Jesus said of Zacchaeus, that they too are sons and daughters of Abraham, filled with a unique expression of God's love, full of uncommon